You've tuned into the Are You Screening podcast, originally live and an effort to bring you instant reactions to films. We try to stick to that theory and bring you unedited, unfiltered, and largely off-the-cuff opinions of movies, along with interviews, industry news, and hopefully a lot more. Thanks for listening, and let's get right to this week's episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the RUScreening.com podcast. I'm your host, as always, RUScreening.com's own Mark Eastman. And with me, as usual, is co-host extraordinaire Shane Leonard.
Hello. I'm befuddled. This is all so weird still. We sit here and we talk about it, and then we do it, and I'm like,
I'm like a cat
looking at some light on the floor. I'm like, is that going?
Yeah, we have new technology
this is great.
Studio, and Shane's mesmerized.
I am. I'm easily hypnotized.
And it is kind of mesmerizing.
Hopefully everybody, you know, we took a little bit of a break, but hopefully everyone's listened to the last show, which was the first of the new technology.
Right.
When I listened to it, I mean, I was psyched. It sounds so good.
Yeah, it does.
It sounds so good.
It's kind of another level when you take out what needs to happen in order for the thing to be live and internet recorded and the whole thing like that. And it just kind of turns it up a notch, which right now probably sucks because me and like the weird scratchy voice that you can hear super clearly is not helping anymore.
Yeah, we're almost sponsored by like a hospital wing right now.
Like, so. Or halls or something.
Right.
So this week we have to do some catching up.
Right.
And we've got Kong Skull Island and Beauty and the Beast. And Kong Skull Island's really funny. I was getting ready to start doing the show today. And I was like, what are we doing again? Okay, Kong Skull Island. I'm like, what happens in that?
Yeah, right.
It was not quite that long ago. But man, did I seriously sat here and I was like trying to think of various parts.
Right.
Like other than just you know, obviously the openings scene in the helicopters and everything, and yeah, I can remember it. But then I was like, there was a boat,
and there was a monkey,
and I was like, man, it was big fun. And then, so after that, Beauty and the Beast, and I think that really that's about all we'll have time for, hopefully.
Yeah.
It depends, I guess, on if anyone wants to say anything about or who wants to say what about these movies. I don't know. But there's, you know, we're not going into like news right now, except as we were just talking about, the remaking The Matrix. Probably everyone's heard about that already anyway, but man, does that just really bug me. If you know, remakes are the thing anyway. And as much as people complain endlessly about how Hollywood has no ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And remakes and reboots and revisits and comes out with a sequel 20 years later.
Right.
All this crazy stuff. Even, you know, even stuff like where it in a way kind of slips under the radar, like things like, you know, Bridget Jones last year when it's like it doesn't get the criticism exactly of, you know, remaking some goofy thing, even though it's a long time to wait for a sequel. And anyway, as much as Hollywood, you know, gets bashed about this all the time, you know, Kong Skull Island still makes $1 jillion. And so why would they not, But, but man, the remake in The Matrix is just,
Well, wait, so why is that touchy?
I think that one is that one's touchy for me because it's such a little cult like thing that turned into like this big thing. And I really think that remaking it is almost to like destroy it in theory, right?
Yeah.
To throw a bunch of money at it and go, now I can make like some, you know, crazy awesome thing. Like what was great about it was that it had very little budget.
Right.
And still did some cool stuff, did lots of special effects that basically if you go back and learn about how they made the movie, a lot of making the movie was what special effects can we do really cheaply?
Right. Let's get some wire foo going.
And let's figure out how to work into our movie. Yep. And, you know, like a lot of the stuff that they do, all the slow motion-y stuff, all the dodging bullets and stuff, it's all actually really cheap to do.
Yeah.
And
it looked rich.
It looked it was really rich. Fun and cool and awesome. And I don't know. It's just a weird thing to me to remake. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons that I don't like them remaking it is because the next two movies suck.
You're not a fan of the sequels at all.
Yeah. And I don't like, you know, why go back to it? I mean, we've ruined this movie already.
Right.
Why go back to it?
Did you, I know your son hadn't seen it. Did you get a chance to see it again recently?
Yeah, yeah.
Does it? Because I haven't seen it forever. We watched it with him. But my memory of seeing it like on TNT all the time is that it stands up really well.
It really does. If you just watch it, you know, and you don't know how old Keanu is,
and you might look at that and be like, this must just be a few years old. That,
right.
That's, what is it, 99? So it's 18 years old.
It's that's really ancient, old. But yeah, I feel like it really does.
Yeah.
It really does stand up really well. And, you know, I don't know that remaking it will stand up, though. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know that. The story of it at this point is a little dated and kooky how they do stuff.
Sure.
You're going to have to update that.
Well, I mean, they use phones. They use landlines.
Right. They use actual phones to get out.
Yeah. I mean, there'll be some things to do.
And what's interesting about that in a way is because the movie, it's not just that they use landlines.
Right.
But, I mean, the movie predates
cell phones and all that stuff.
And now not only are they going to have to update that, but they're going to have to update making sense of doing things that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
if they
can't do cell phones,
right?
Because you just have it. You don't have to run to the spot or whatever.
Right. If I'm making this movie and I'm in this pitch meeting with you, I'm telling you that when the architect finally shows up and he says there have been six other iterations of the Chosen One before you.
That's movie three.
We don't go into the future. We don't make a contemporary Matrix. We do one of the ones before Neo. We do like 1950s landlines. Like I want to see a 1930s Chicago Matrix.
Like the previous one.
Yeah, we go back and tell the story that's there. Because there's a good story
in there. Then
it's
almost like you're stealing from Blade Runner or something.
I know. Well, this is funny. I was actually going to say about Blade Runner.
You're going to make it look like Blade Runner,
I know.
Right?
I know,
If they did that, that's what they would do.
You know, with all these things, we're doing Beauty and the Beast, which is the live action, you know, update of it. Kong, which is just another, you know, entry. And I'm thinking sequels bug me to no end, but I feel like I'm neutral about them now because I know they're all coming. I know there's very few original things. Everything's being sequelized or reimagined or remade.
Next week is Ghost in the Shell, and I'm actually looking forward to
a
that
a little
remake.
Looking forward to that because I want to see
cool.
Right, and then I'm thinking, well, the one, because I was going to ask you, what's the one that you'd like them to do? And then I'm thinking that might be too open-ended without any forethought, but the one that I'm looking forward to the most is the sequel to Blade Runner. You know, and that has something to do with the director who I love and the actors who I'm really into and the aesthetic, which I'm sure is going to be amazing. Like, I think everything's in line to that thing being great. But again, that's just another weird sequel that I'm okay
with. But also, it might not. But
it really might not.
Yeah. And that's another one where, like I was saying, you know, going back to the well in a weird way a long time later. So it's like a sequel, but it's forever later.
And it makes sense that it's like 30 years down the road. Uh-oh. Well, look at this. Oh, these are the things that we don't get. You got to take this call. All right, you're excusing yourself. I'll talk about sequels for a minute. I don't actually feel the same way that you do about The Matrix, but I can certainly appreciate it. And when I heard about the sequel, well, the reimagining of it, I just thought, I don't even know why. Like, I understand if you're going to make a story for Blade Runner 30 years later, new you know, replicants, new runners, that's fine. Tell that story. If you want to bring Harrison Ford in, great. But to just recast a film that is great on its own, successful.
Right, right.
Like, I always had this thing with a friend of mine. I would always ask him, you know, what's our long bet? Do you think they're going to remake Gone with the Wind or Casablanca first?
Right.
Or will they do E.T. again? Or Ghostbusters, and I won that bet. But, you know, if you're just going to reimagine it because you got better technology, I understand that on a small, small scale, but I don't think it's necessary. I just
I can understand it. When you have a movie, if you had a movie that was really kind of cutting edge and you really couldn't quite do it
right
in a fantastic way because there were no special effects that could really deliver stuff.
Yeah.
And now obviously you look at stuff like Valerian and the Thousand Planets coming out. If you've seen any clips or trailers of that, it's crazy looking.
That's real.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And you know, just all of the special effects you do now, it's like going back to watch the original Star Trek movie.
Right. I was
You know, which something like that, which is
endurance of that,
which is so fascinatingly whacktastic to watch now because there's so much of that movie where they are so impressed with their special effects that they make you stare at it forever. Right. It's almost, there are parts of that movie where it's almost like, you know, the original, like, movie that had theaters where it's like just the train coming at you and like people jumped and went, what the hell? Because they'd never seen a movie before or whatever. And it's like the Star Trek movies doing that. If you have a movie that is old like that, that's a, some kind of sci-fi or fantasy or something where now you can just do special effects and you don't have to have, you know, Ewoks that are little and puppets strings, or, you know, whatever, you know,
anything,
then I could kind of see it. I could kind of say, hey, let this was a good story.
Yeah.
It's, you know, really goofy looking, even, even some things that are awesome, but they're goofy looking. Like, you know, if you start making Harryhausen Sinbad movies with the
Jason
skeletons
and the Argonauts and stuff.
And, like, and do that sort of stuff again and go, look, let's make this with actual special effects. I could see that, but just to remake something, just, you know, the Matrix is just like, they know people will show up.
Yeah,
I mean,
they do.
So but let's remake that, that.
Even that, I mean, this is a long tangent. We'll get off this, but even that drives me nuts because we just saw them a couple years ago try it with Clash of the Titans, speaking of Harryhausen stuff.
Right.
It sucked.
Yeah.
It sucked so bad. Like, they had no idea what made it interesting
and
original.
And the original is awful, but in like a really good way.
Okay, I was going
to
say.
It's awful. Really good awful, but it embraces the cheesiness of the special effects it has and like runs with it.
Right.
And then you remake it into this thing that's, you know, completely serious and going, look, we're fantastic. And, and you're like, what is happening?
You suck. Yeah. Oh man, I can't do that.
Which quite frankly, we segues us in. We'll pretend we did this on purpose to Kong Skull Island, which is kind of the exact same thing, King Kong, goofy special effects.
Yep.
Not even a fantastic movie.
Wait, which one?
The original. The one. The really like original the one, right? One.
Yep.
Not even like a good story or a good movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess people will disagree with that, but I mean, it's not like, hey, that's the next greatest story ever.
Right.
But that movie, it was like Godzilla, right? It was like the Godzilla movies. It was just because, hey, look at
what
some crazy shit we can do, right?
Yeah.
And look, we'll make it look like there's a giant monkey and little planes will zip by and you can see the little, you know, cords that they're attached to or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean,
you'll buy it.
There was the problem for me with all of the Kong and Godzilla movies coming back, even though, you know, over the last jillion years that they've been remaking them, there have been some fairly interesting things to watch. There have been some entertaining versions of it. But the problem for me is that they're based on things that aren't good. They never were good. Nobody ever thought
so
they
the
were good.
Pretty low, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's so it's just it's such a goofy idea. It's just one of those things where everybody knows who Kong and Godzilla are, so you will show up.
Right.
But there are plenty of people who will show up. If I owned the studio, I'd keep making them too.
Sure.
But I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't say they were good. I wouldn't try to convince anyone they were good movies.
Yeah.
Or even good attempts, right? But but King Kong, this one, is such a weird thing. So we'll just, like, I guess, jump in and give our ratings.
I'm going to see if I got this right.
Yeah, I gave this one a 2.
That's
Kong Skull Island, and I'll tell you what, it was lucky to get it.
So it came
and
up,
if it
it kept going down, or it just came up
it
enough,
got,
like it reached something.
It got like a star for John C. Reilly, and if it wasn't for him, it probably would have been a one. And the only reason that it even gets anything out of him is A, he kind of made me laugh a couple times.
Yeah.
And B, there was something very surreal about watching him in this movie for me. Like, yeah. He managed to, like, wink at you, I think, while watching this movie.
It's funny,
like,
you say that. I agree.
He was kind of going, they gave me money.
Right. Like, you know, and I get to come to the island.
They gave me a bunch of money to be here.
Go to, like, yeah.
And somehow he managed to not do that and still do it anyway.
Right, right.
And it was almost like he challenged himself to do some acting.
Right.
So he's like, I'm going to act like a person who's trapped making this movie,
right.
Not trapped on the island, right. But, and there were a couple times that he really made me laugh, but everything else about this movie is, first of all, it's directed by somebody that you never heard of before and never made anything before. And he's friends with somebody.
Oh yeah. Jordan Volt Roberts.
He's done some TV. I think he is like friends with Nick Offerman or something. I don't know what that gets you or why that gets you anything.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. But he's done some TV and all of a sudden he's got this giant budget Kong Skull Island.
This,
I mean,
so
he's friends with somebody in Hollywood and
his list is all TV
and got a gig, right?
Yeah.
And he needs to never get a gig again because it's directed horribly.
The problems with the film
and the writing is just bonkers. The writing is like a drunk weekend with, you know, write a movie for dummies book or something and just cut and paste all the goofiest crap out of it. Anyway, I won't keep going on. What's your
rating? we can do this for a while because I'm at 2.5. I'm a little bit better than you, but not much.
I wasn't actually sure you were going to be
I'm pretty close to
as low as me.
I was so bored and so disinterested and so disengaged, even to the point where I think I mentioned to you, at least I think I did, that I started watching the film through a different lens. I was really watching it like Anaconda, dumb, exploitive, really, really stupid kind of play. But I feel like this wasn't that. And it's weird because I have a few of my close friends. Okay, so here's the disclaimer.
Who loved it.
They do love it. And here's the disclaimer. God. I love monster movies. I actually do. I just haven't seen a really good one in a long time. Going all the way back to like Cloverfield, you know, which just sucks. But I understand that and I had this argument with them about this specific movie. What they loved most was Kong. Seeing Kong doing things.
Yeah. Kong looked great. The special effects
Kong looks so amazing in scenes that are not important. Than the scenes that are like the big thing that, and I'm surprised that early on they have the helicopter scene that's all in the trailers. Like that's
right
up front. And that's visually great, though absolutely nonsensical. It doesn't make any sense at all. And I'm not going to be the guy that comes into a film about a huge ape.
I think story wise, it's really goofy. And not only is it really goofy, and I don't mean to cut you off, but
I'm not going to forget.
It's not only really goofy, but it is so counter to every Kong movie.
Yes. This is what I'm going to.
Bizarre.
I'm not going to walk into a Kong film or a giant monster movie and start complaining about like the realism. Okay.
Right.
This is like loving, you know, X-Men movies and then complaining that guys can start fires with their mind. Like that doesn't make sense. Okay. You have to believe certain things. I just don't believe anything that happened in the film for the most part, all the way up until John C. Reilly. And then I believed he's the only thing that's realistic in the whole thing. And he's just so isolated and lonely. He's like, I'll do whatever you want, but I've lived here for 30 years. Don't listen to me. But just all the different things that happened to lead up to Kong. And he looks great. The moment I thought he looked the best was when he just walks by in the water. When he's just walking through the water and nothing's happening, but you just see this god amongst everything. He looked amazing in that. And the fight scenes, he looks good at. It doesn't look real blotchy. But by the time, even the scene I'm talking about, when he fights in the water, and I won't ruin it, even though I really want to ruin everything about this film. But, man, you're popular today. When he fights in the water, I am so disengaged from anything, even the big monster battles, because at that point, we've already had a couple, and they're not getting any better for me. It's just bad writing, flat acting, and not in a way that's supposed to be satirical or comical, but it felt like they were really taking themselves seriously about doing this kind of thing. And the problem with that is when you get somebody who takes it too seriously, you get the fiasco that's Peter Jackson's Kong, which is almost as nightmarish for me in a different way, because at least when you take it real seriously, the mistakes you make are because you take the material too seriously. Here, if you don't take what you're doing seriously enough and you're just filming stuff to get to the special effect fights, then I can't get interested in anything at all. Man, they got this huge platoon of all these soldiers that are built to die over the course of a film. They're all red shirts, okay? And what they want so hard is to make them be like the, you know, we were just talking Excuse about me. Aliens. You know, you care about the Marines and aliens after no time at all because they're characters.
Right.
In this, they're just, I don't even know anybody's names. I don't know.
No,
I'm just
not
that
at all.
Guy. The second white guy, the third black guy, that guy with the big gun.
Yeah,
like even, I didn't care about anything. And
even like
20
minutes into the movie,
right?
I'm already just like in my mind as I'm watching it, like referring to the people as their goofy caricature,
right?
You know, there's like the Richie Cunningham kid.
Yep.
And there's, you know, Samuel L. Jackson, you can't help because you know Samuel L. Jackson, right?
He takes the pass, right?
Excuse me. He's going to be who he is, but he is like caricature to the nth level of ridiculous sergeant person. But all of these other guys, you know, there's like philosophy guy.
Right. Yep.
And actually I was really interested in seeing him, and I don't remember his name, but he was on Boardwalk Empire and he was really good. And I really actually like him a lot. And I saw him in the movie and I was like, okay, well, some interesting stuff might happen. Right.
Yeah.
But everything that happens is completely goofy. And that's as far as any of these people get.
Right.
Is kind of like the notes in the script of, you know, outlining the character. He's going to be this guy. He's going to be the, you know, like sort of passive, you know, fighter guy. And the other guy is going to be like the real jerk
the
fighter.
The guy that wants to blow up,
you know,
everything.
Whatever. I mean, they're all just these, and nothing about them happens that turns them into characters, and it gets to the point where it's funny to watch what they think will turn them into characters.
Right.
What they think will, you know, give you some reason to like them. And the funniest one actually happens first. If it would have happened later in the movie, you'd probably just laugh out loud after you've been built up to it. But it happens first, so you're kind of like not in that same place. And it's when Samuel L. Jackson is sitting at his desk and looks down at the medals.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks down at all these medals and goes, and for what? And just like the script writing was, I want to sum up the Vietnam War.
Right.
But I got like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Because I already paid the special effects guys, you know, $3 million. I can't take away any of their time.
Right.
And the fight is really cool looking. So whatever we want to do with characters, you know, and you get one take at it too.
Right, because we got to cut.
It's Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah. Do it right the first time.
Right.
And it's so goofy. If that would have happened at the end of the movie or like later on in the movie, you'd laugh and walk out probably because it would be so stupid.
Anyway,
and it was stupid. I mean, it was stupid then.
Yeah.
But they do the same things. They have people like working on the boat. When they find the boat and they're like, this is like camaraderie time or whatever.
Right.
And you're like, oh my God. And it's so weird too. They have the natives on the island because John C. Reilly has to still be there.
Right.
Because I don't know why, because it's like a funny shtick that
that's
thought
the
of
thing. Right.
That he will have crashed there in World War II. The opening is really goofy too. The opening is like such a cheesy Michael Bay goofy moment where they're, you know, they're gonna start killing each other. I really don't feel like that would happen.
No,
I mean,
I think that it would be like Enemy Mine. Like now they're together.
It would
on
be
the
like
planet. They're like,
we're
we
both screwed.
Right. Well, let's live together for a while.
And neither one of them can shoot anything, which was Right. Which was hilarious. Anyway, but there's all these little points throughout the movie where they keep doing that. Whenever they kind of catch a break where it's like, okay, let's talk now for a minute and get people interested in us. And if Samuel L. Jackson talks, it's the worst ever because he's such a bonkers,
he starts at 11. He
starts at like 15 and it's ridiculous. And one of the things in the movie for me that I thought was funny is they crash on the island. They get attacked by Kong. Right. All their helicopters are down. Now they've got to travel across the island. And what I thought was awesomely stupid, really, is that they make Samuel L. Jackson so far past 11, even, that after about, 10, 15 minutes after they crash, I'm like, somebody would have popped him.
Right. That's when his own guys fracking.
They'd be like, listen, dude, rules are out
right
now.
I want to go home. I just saw something. There's no, my mind.
There's no chain of command now. Right. Somebody in that group of caricatures, which you can't really blame any of them for not actually doing it because they're not actually people.
Right.
So, because we haven't bothered to make them people. But somebody in that big group of people, especially probably what's his name?
Loki.
Hiddleston. Yeah. Loki. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Loki shows up and then,
then all hell breaks loose. Yeah.
Especially him, he would have just went, look, dude, you're in charge of nothing here, man.
Right.
So give me another order. Well,
in a weird way they play it, but in a weird way, I thought there was truly going to be something interesting with the film. I hoped that they would think of this, but they were too busy just showing off where they've got 3 days to get to the rendezvous point, like you said, and Samuel L. wants to go after the monkey and Hiddleston wants to just leave.
Right.
He's like, look, it's going to be hard enough getting in 3 days.
Get out of here.
The unit then should be like, look, I don't know what he's doing, but I don't feel like following my boss. And the boss is like, you're going to follow me. That's an order. I waited for Hiddleston to basically just be like, you can't order me and I'm going to live.
Right.
Whoever wants to come with me and live, we're going this way. That would have been interesting and a dramatic and inner conflict instead of the external conflict. But they don't think that far ahead. They're just like, Hulk smash. We got to find something for Kong to break down. Even though they tried really hard to put in this, I'm saying nuanced, but it wasn't nuanced. It was a very clumsy subplot with Samuel L. Jackson's... and they mistakenly did it too, because it would have been good if they'd done it right. But his like vengeance for all of his fallen unit, and he's going to go after Kong no matter what. He never gets off.
And
I get that.
And it's this idea that he sort of snapped.
Right. That it broke him. And then he's like, seen whatever. That he's always looking for another war. He's always wanting another adversary. Basically, that conflict exists just to set up one action piece after another. And the argument I was getting in with friends that loved it because they loved just the action. And I thought, sure, the 11 minutes of action is really great, but I didn't have to sit through 2 hours to endure that. You get kind of what you want. And we do this, I feel like you actually do get, I didn't love the trailer. I think you do get the movie that the trailer gives you.
I think you get exactly that.
But you get what you want. You get people fighting people fighting monsters fighting monsters. And you don't have anything in the middle because it's mostly just like boring combat for me. There wasn't a battle in that whole movie that was interesting to me. Not the spiders, not the battles with Kong, not even that first battle with Kong, because I'm looking at it and I'm like, you're in a helicopter. Don't fly so close.
Right.
Go up.
The first
make Kong jump
the
or
first
go
opening,
far.
Yeah, like, the first opening to the movie I thought was so fantastically stupid with that helicopter thing. Mm-hmm. Except in the one sense that at least it lets you know where you are.
It
goes, this is the movie you'll be watching. Like right out of the gates.
And I was like, oh no.
And it lives up to that.
It really
the whole
does.
Rest of the movie.
It does.
And it was, it's not only so goofy that you have these helicopter pilots who've been in war and everything, and there's a giant monkey.
Right.
And all they can do is go get as close to the giant monkey as you possibly can, right? That's all they're about.
I need to see his eyes.
And then it even gets so stupid that, I don't know if they're trying to set up. It's like they purposely did this to set up the reason people are following Samuel L. Jackson later on in the movie.
I think.
But when they're in the helicopter,
yeah,
you know, the guy goes, "Could we get the hell out of here?"
Right.
And the Richie Cunningham
right.
pilot guy goes, "You're not the boss of me, or right. I don't take orders from you," yep. or whatever it is.
Yep.
It's like, really?
Yeah.
Because there's a giant monkey. You right. sure you don't want to
yeah.
get away from it or yeah. something? But then as, you know, as the movie goes on and Samuel L. Jackson's just like going, "We're going to kill it. We're going to kill it." You can't believe any of it
mm-hmm.
for a second, really. And it's distracting. They could have just not mm-hmm. done that somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Just have him do it. Or I don't know what's going to happen, but there's right. too many of them left.
Yeah.
It really is the problem for me.
Right.
If he'd have been doing that, there's like a few of them left. I don't yeah. know. And they're like, "Well, we're going to go get these bombs because that's our best chance of surviving the monkey."
Right.
Not just, "We have to kill him," but whatever it is. But none of them say anything or do anything.
Yeah.
"Look, we shot at it with like rockets right. from our helicopter. What else better. Are we going right. to do to it?"
Yeah.
Like, we got these little guns. He's not going to notice. We're going to go kill him now.
In the smallest moment of inspiration, you know, they had something that was at least marginally clever for something so stupid to begin with anyway. Like, I liked how Kong was reacting to them dropping the charges, like, because he knew that the stupidest name for a monster ever, the Skull Crushers, were coming out.
Right.
Actually liked that. Someone on one day had a good idea.
Right.
But I'm like, that's even the foundation for which you're doing this stuff is just so stupid. It at best, it's a checklist movie for me that is really bad anyway. At worst, it just feels like a film of constant movie tropes done by A-list actors.
Right.
You know, I mean,
for no reason.
For no reason.
Somebody paid him to show up.
And I said this to you too. In a way, I feel kind of a little bad for Hiddleston, though I think he can skirt this. I felt like this was his kind of tryout for a James Bond film or things that are not Marvel.
Right.
You know, in a way, and he didn't do bad. He had his biceps all oiled up.
He didn't do bad, but
you know,
it still was just sad.
He had his awesome poses, and he carried his gun heavily. You know, he looked brooding. But
everything that happened was still so sad. Even when John Goodman and his little buddy, Gilligan, whatever, goes to find Hiddleston right. at this bar, and
yeah.
it's like, "Oh, we walked in, so that will be exactly when this redonkulous fight happens,
of course,
and then
right.
he can hit people with pool
yeah.
cues."
Right.
And you're like, really? I mean, is that really the movie I'm watching?
Yeah.
It was just...
Well, all the different exploitations, you know, between him and his weird posing, but I don't blame him for that, between Brie Larson, who's talented... And every shot of her...
Whose hair never got messed up.
Every shot of her seemed to be showing off the perfect curvature of her outfit that they made her wear. Like, everything there was just to marginalize everything.
The longer they were in the jungle, the better her hair and makeup were.
Yeah.
the more we went on into the movie.
John C. Reilly was fine.
He was fun.
But it was almost like getting... It was almost like getting... someone doing a John C. Reilly because John C. Reilly knew enough to stay out of the film. Like
right.
he was really John C. Reillying this part.
Right.
And I didn't get it. The stuff, there were some good visual things here, but you know, you said it right. It was stupid. And I'm not throwing that out casually. Like, "Oh, I didn't like it." So it's just dumb. It was stupid.
Yeah.
Like,
it was stupid. It wasn't trying to do anything other than, what's the cheapest way to get in and out of here and make a bunch of money?
Well,
and just, you know, we're going to, I don't even know like what the deal is with the Writers Guild or whatever, but
yeah.
it was like, we're going to pay this guy for like 4 hours.
Right. Yeah.
Make it happen. Right now.
Here's the big thing that is obvious anyway, even if you're not reading the news or the inside stuff like we do, you do a lot, I do sometimes. Legendary Films is in charge of putting together this big monster fest like the Marvel
yeah.
Universe.
Yeah.
We had Godzilla a few years ago with Aaron Taylor Johnson. And
yeah.
people didn't realize that was the first one. That was the Iron Man of this whole thing. Now this is supposed to be the Captain America kind of entry. They're moving towards the Godzilla versus King Kong thing, which probably will be a lot like Batman versus Superman. They'll throw two punches and then fight Mothra together.
Right.
But this is, I say this by way of saying there's a scene at the end of the film, there's a stinger that if you want to watch is actually more interesting than anything else in the whole film, but because I'm bored to
death.
Even
though it's goofy, yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, and that is really the thing for me. As much as it's stupid, and it, if this movie was not taking itself so seriously, it might have been pretty good. It might not have, but it
would have been better.
But it might have.
Here's my quick question for you, Kong question. So there's four Kong films, really. What's your favorite of them? So there's the original, there's not Kurt Russell, there's the Bridges one, the Jeff Bridges one, there's the Peter Jackson one, and then there's this piece of crap. I don't mind.
You know, I think if I try to recall them, and obviously that's spanning a long
time. I'm asking a lot.
I feel like I kind of liked the Kurt Russell one, not too bad. Oh, Jeff Bridges?
The Jeff Bridges one. Yeah. I love that one, even though it's 70s stupidity and exploitive in a
but
way,
it's
but
kind
it's
of
so good.
It's kind of like I feel, and you know, if I watched it again, probably I'd go, what am I saying?
Well, it's, I saw it a while ago, god-awful. And it's not great.
It's a long time ago, and I don't know that I ever watched it again, even. So it's just like the one thing. But I feel like there was something to that movie that was kind of like in that time period of movie making where you could be a certain kind of serious and still not be serious, you know, like Escape from New York you know, like stuff like that. And that movie kind of embraced that. Like, let's not pretend that we're making Shakespeare here. Yeah. Let's just do a thing. And and it didn't go anything like this movie insofar as like just making goofy caricatures and,
all these tropes after another.
Yeah.
It was Charles Grodin, Jessica Lange, Jeff Bridges. That was basically your cast, and you cared about them, you know. But it was also like believable. We went to the island for this. We found this guy. We're going to bring him back instead. Like capitalism, you know, extortion, all these things.
And this movie too. There's so much. Just the whole like right out of the gates killing Kong.
Right
is. Very not Kong. So it's like they tried to take a lot of things about how Kong movies work and go, look, we're going to change this.
Yeah.
And so it'll be different and new and whatever.
Right.
And they didn't bother to say, is there any good movie to be had here? This really for me, and I say this every once in a while for various films, but this to me felt a lot like a movie made by someone who doesn't like Kong movies.
Right.
And who knows what they're doing is awful and stupid and shows up to work every day and goes, I hate this goddamn movie, but I'm going to make it and make my money. And, you know, this is like the equivalent of somebody, you know, trapped in a dead end job going to work
and spitting in your food,
spitting this out. Right.
Spitting in your food because they hate their job and they really want to be fired.
And as much, and we have mentioned this before and we can move on from this horrible movie. Everyone can write us and tell us how great it is, I guess.
Yeah.
But the thing is for me, more than anything else, even though it is dumb, it has all these goofy problems, but there are, you know, like you said, Brie Larson and Tom Hiddleston are not bad.
They're not bad.
Exactly. Yeah. They're just unfortunately forced to do stupid things.
Yeah.
But for me, this movie, with all the problems that it has, the real killer is, like you said before, I was just bored so much of the time.
All the way, almost.
I was
through.
Just sitting there like so bored. Is anything going to happen? And you know what really like threw me over a certain edge of boredom was when they left the natives.
Mm-hmm.
When they get on the boat and leave the natives, I'm like, we didn't need the damn natives at all. For whatever reason, at some point, we got all these extras. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I don't know, make something happen with it. We could have just as easily found John C. Reilly
all by himself
amongst
in a hammock.
The ruins.
Yeah,
the villagers could have all died off long ago or something. And he found the little paintings or whatever.
Right.
And there's so much in the movie that's just so somebody thinks like their ideas are so awesome and no one will tell them they're not. Like the like the goofy paintings with the Kong and it's like on the different rocks so you don't see it from the right angle or whatever.
Right.
Like somebody thought, man, this will look so cool.
Right. On a storyboard, that looks
good. And it will be fantastic. Yeah. And then you're like, what is that?
Who would have done that?
Why would anyone do that? That's exactly it.
I'll find one rock and I'll put my art
exactly,
there.
It's exactly what I was thinking.
That's some pretentious natives.
Exactly.
You know?
When it happened, when you're watching it in the movie and I'm already so bored.
Yeah.
And they spin around and you see the thing and I'm like, that is kind of cool looking. why would anyone have done that? Right. No one would ever have done that
right.
in a million years. Yeah. Anyway, especially the never speaking natives of this island.
The one part of the film that I thought would have been the best was the thing we didn't even get. You know, there's a throwaway line. I actually think very quickly, it was annoying in the beginning because it went down the checklist. Again, I thought it was a checklist film. The checklist of film of music we have to have if we're in the Vietnam era.
Right.
You know, okay,
right.
all that. And then it went through like all these checklists of things.
It was really like all the music that Warner Brothers has the rights,
anyway. Yeah. And it's like, you know, there's this throwaway line that John C. Reilly has about, you know, we hope we better not run into the ants.
And I'm
like, let's see the ants.
Let's have some ants.
The giant spider was stupid.
Yeah, and they were like,
understand. Like,
they even have him like listening to it. You think it's a bird,
right.
but it's an ant. I was like, what?
Right.
That was actually pretty cool.
I love when the big spider is there, and if you have something that is as tall as that spider is, and everyone's like panicked, like, now we're going to get stepped on by these razor legs.
Right.
Actually, if you all just stay really close together near one of them, you won't, because it's not a tiptoe ballerina spider. It right. like has this, but it's just so stupid over and over again, all these things. But I wish I had seen the ants, because at least Peter Jackson went on to the idea that Skull Island has tons of things, that everything,
right.
it's like the anaconda
right.
on steroids. But this thing just was like, you know, we got to look out for this and maybe look out for that.
Right.
And just follow me. Okay. Don't. That's the movie. Like, that's the film.
It is.
It's
it
so
is.
Stupid.
I love the part when one of the parts with John C. Reilly, when he's like, I've only lived here for 20 years.
Yeah.
So don't bother listening to
that
me.
That was the best line that he had.
That was a part for me that you just really could see John C. Reilly winking at you.
Right.
I mean, it was just like, this, check out this line I have to say.
Yeah.
right. And then he says it.
Yeah.
It was. So anyway, that was horrible.
That one's a rough one. I can't suggest anyone go see that. Even if you're a monster fan, just wait. It'll be on TV at some point, and then you can just see the best parts of it.
Yeah. And you'll be able to fast forward a lot and stuff like that. Yeah.
That was rough.
Yeah. That was really a weird one. Okay. Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. This is interesting. This would be a weird one.
Will it?
I think so.
Why will it be weird? This could potentially be our biggest difference.
I don't know, because this is a strange one. I don't know.
All right, Beauty and the Beast. So
I know love Bill Condon.
Emma Watson.
Yep.
And for the life of me, I can't remember the Beast guy's name, but he's on...
Dan Stevens.
Yeah,
Dan
he's Stevens. On right now the show Legion.
Legion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, like Marvel... X-Men
yep.
thing, right?
Yep.
And that show actually really kind of kicks ass.
Yeah.
That show is really cool. And it's almost like daring people to not watch it because it's based on a comic book, you know, because it's not what you're thinking.
And it's not,
right?
Yeah, right.
It's not like the X-Men flying around and everything.
Yeah.
And he is so good in that show. Yeah. It's bonkers, and he has to do really impossible stuff.
Yeah,
you know, it's like that Orphan Black show where the one girl has to play like seven people, and sometimes they're talking to each other,
right.
and
yeah.
you know whatever.
Yeah,
and except that she's really good. I mean, that sounds kind of cheesy,
right,
but she's actually really good at it.
Yeah,
he is so good at all of the, and he has to basically act like he thinks that he's crazy,
right?
Because people have told him he's crazy for so long.
Yeah.
And crazy stuff happens, so he believes it.
Right.
And so there are lots of parts in that show where, especially going through like the first few episodes, where he suddenly is going, is this really happening right now? Like,
Or am I crazy?
He is amazing in that. So anyway...
I sense you setting up a big contrast here.
I want you to go first.
You want me to? Okay. Well,
I've actually already, you know, reviewed the movie online.
Oh, did you? Well, you've been sick. You've been sick
rating,
as a dog. I don't know what you've been doing.
My rating is, you know, locked in anyway, so it's not like I can change it.
I have a feeling that I liked this more than you, but I still only liked it at 4.5.
Wow.
See, I think, what are you, at 9? You're at 1?
I gave it a 10.
You gave it a 10?
Yeah.
Wow.
4.5.
This is our big one then. This is the biggest one we've ever had.
This is clearly the biggest difference. Yeah. It's not even close.
There's some things here that are predisposed in a way, which I'm not giving you a blanket to use or anything else. But I mean, you have kids. You know, you've probably seen the animated one more than once. I don't know, recently. I'm assuming an awful lot.
I'll give you a really weird hint, too. I am not even the world's biggest fan of the animated movie.
See, yeah. And that's good to hear in a way. I don't know. You gave it a 10 for real.
Yep.
All right. Well,
not for fake.
I guess it's easy for me to go off on things that I had a problem with. But the things that I thought were really good were, you know, the cast. Strangely, except Dan Stevens. I thought there were parts,
especially earlier on when he's beasting it up, where I thought he's not actually that good.
Right.
Later, he doesn't do a bad job. Later on, after he's around for a while. then he's used to him.
And I think that shows, and I think in some way movies are shot out of order all the time. I have never read a thing that suggested that this was shot in order. I think that some of the scenes that I didn't like him in were probably some of the first ones he did.
Right.
Because I feel like there are certainly scenes, not later in the film, but actually in the early mid part of the film, where he's fantastic. And I'm like, he's got it now.
Right.
But he didn't seem to have a handle on what he was doing or how. And he's got an enviable job for no one, because he's all, you know, dotted up with the ping pong balls and green screening. Right, like, he's actually having a very difficult thing to do. But I was bored. You know, there was a lot of boredom here. There was a lot of, it's been a long time since I saw the animated film, and in some ways it feels unfair to like contrast it with it. But I do remember this. I remember, and it makes me appreciate like cartoon animated films anyway. You have like an ability to be real flowing, real light on your feet, kind of like if you're imagining a dance, and this one's easy, like it's just this perfect waltz. You can move at a clip. You can show all these things. And when I'm watching this movie, it felt like it was moving in the right direction. It was still doing the same dance, but it was very clunky. And it almost felt like I could hear like the machines turning and moving everything, like in a very steamship kind of way, instead of in an easy flowing kind of breezy way. The film was probably 40 minutes too long. And for me, that's because they had to make such a grand spectacle because of the budget and the things that they were trying to show in a way that seemed flashy and not quite as effective for me. You know, there were all these things that didn't seem to work for me.
First of all, the movie is only 20 minutes longer than the animated movie. So
this needs to be a lot shorter.
So right there, you've got like the animated movie is 20 minutes too long. because they've got to do the same stuff.
We talked about it once, and I've said it a few times, but it's easy to remember this one. Carrie with Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah.
And the running time is almost exact. I think the new Carrie is 1 minute longer than the Sissy Spacek one, and they feel totally different to each other. One is very slow and easy and methodical and not calculated.
Yeah,
but they do lots of different stuff, too. Well,
they change stuff around.
You know, that Carrie film is almost a scene-by-scene recreation. There's some cell phones in it, but it's almost like they didn't have any clue what to do with the time that they had allotted to them. This one just felt like very clunky and robotic in a way that was distracting to me, because I kept thinking, and maybe part of it is, it's influenced in a lot of ways, it feels, by Les Mis. You know, like especially the Beast's song. The Beast's song, the grand song that he has when he's singing about how I wish she'd come back, I wish I could be there, you know, all these things. That looked to me like it was cut and pasted right out of a Les Mis production. But it worked for me at times, but most of the times it felt uneven and it felt clunky and slow and not really purposeful. And I got disengaged from it. I was really kind of bored. And then I realized how bored I was. And I'm like, maybe this just isn't for me, because I'm not a musical guy.
I think it might not be for you.
All right, let's hear how great it was.
I thought it, well, first of all, I can't
believe you gave it a 10. I got to write this down.
I thought it's clearly working with a lot of constraints. It's got to make the animated movie. it also has to, you know, present a theory of why we need it. You know what I mean? At the same time, it's got to not be like the, one of the problems with this movie that I think is kind of interesting and funny. Not the problem with the movie, but the problem with like making is that you're not going to, the movie has millions of fans. It has for like 20 years. It's got, you know, it's been on Broadway. It's, you know, whatever. Everybody loves it and loves it. But one of the problems with making it is that you're not going to get anybody, I hope, I would think, you're not going to get anybody to say, what I want out of this, right, is just live action, like you said, scene by scene, the exact same thing happens, and you just turned it into a live action movie,
right?
But then what do they want? Because they don't, you have fans that you have to appease, where you don't know what that means, And so I just think that's an interesting thing. But, you know, the film has to still be that movie, and it still has to do some things. And there's going to be some scenes that people are going to go, I want to see that exact part, or I want, you know, this, well, like this to happen this way, or whatever.
That's the big thing.
The Be Our Guest thing, actually, I will say, that's one of the problems that I have with the movie, is that that goes too far and gets too cartoony. And it doesn't fit with everything else before, in
right,
the movie.
The scenes right before and then everything right after.
It doesn't fit really. And there's something about, you know, the exact way that the new ride is going to whatever. I mean, there's there's something like
this
that.
This is how it is.
And I didn't like that part at all. And the other thing that I didn't like, the other drawback I had from the movie is that Gaston, as we go on, is a little too psychopathy. And it's not terrible, but like relating it to, you know, the original or whatever. It's a little too much. But this movie for me was like, I want to say that what this movie is like taking any Disney movie, any fairy tale or whatever that's based on like the Grimm's brothers. And taking that back to the like original. And going, let's tell the original story and see how it really
Little Red Riding Hood.
Except this one does not actually have, this has an original story, but it's way different.
Much
and
different.
There's tons of other stuff.
They won't tell
and
that.
It's not the Grimm's brothers anyway. It's just a really old, like 14th century or something story. And it's just different. It's not even like it's more Grimm's brothers-y. It's just that it's a wildly different story. So it doesn't relate to the animated movie. So you can't make that story.
Right.
I want to say that it's like the Grimm's brothers story because, as we know, crazy shit happens in those, right? But they're actually not that great a story. They're just more deadly and
they're
screwier
and dangerous.
This is like the story that's really old that is sort of based on the Grimm's brothers story. You know what I mean? It's like when they first took Cinderella out of Grimm's brothers and somebody like 100 years later wrote a story. And that story's way different from the fairy tale that you know now too. And so now we're making that story. But all the time, what it's got to do is go, let's pretend there's this original story that the Disney story might come from when we like Disneyfied that story, and made Gaston not such a psycho and made everything not quite so bad and harsh and ugly and put in some stuff that, you know, we cut out of Disneyfying the movie just because we didn't have time to tell it. And so it gives you this whole, you know, Belle's father has like a story. He's not just the crackpot
that was,
screwball
the weird
guy.
Yeah, that was actually cool.
Once he starts talking about the beast, then people start talking about him like he's crazy. But at first, he's just kind of the guy who doesn't fit with our village. And then it's also got a whole other part of the story of the witch and what happened what she did and the whole thing, And Belle and her father have this whole backstory that we then find out later so that
which
we get
new.
Kind of,
that was never,
no,
I mean,
yeah,
hinted,
that's,
but
no,
that's
new. Totally new.
Yeah.
But it, you know, kind of explains more about why people are where they are, right. why they are there.
Right.
When now that we have more of the rest of the story, that no one else is supposed to be right. there. Right. They really are the people
yeah.
who don't fit. And Gaston is just, he really goes nutso
yeah.
in this one.
Yeah.
And,
Luke Evans is good as Gaston, though. Like, I actually don't
No, he
have,
really
he
is.
He actually,
yeah.
he sell, and, but you're right. He's already at 11, too.
Like, yeah. He,
in a
he,
village of people that are scared of him and won't do anything anyway, and but they are.
Most of them worship worship him. And right. as it gets on, goes on, like, he gets worse because
yeah.
things do not go his way, and he right. does not like that.
And he really wants Belle.
Right. Yeah. And he's not used to not anyway. Getting what he wants. Right. But anyway. But it, I think all of the stuff that it needed to do to give you the animated movie in a live action version,
right.
it did. It had all those parts. I thought Emma Watson was really good as Belle.
I thought she was really good.
I kind of wish she was a little taller and had darker hair. But other than that, but she was really good. And she actually has more to do than you might expect from just Belle.
I agree.
Belle is actually in the original is kind of easy to do. She doesn't actually have like 50 or 60 different notes, right? She's not right. that complex a
right.
character.
Right.
And in this, there's more stuff going on. So she gets to be a little bit more complex.
She's more fleshed
at
out.
Least.
Yeah.
And
literally.
She, yeah.
You know, but.
And I liked all the stuff that happened, within the castle. I thought there were some parts where the Beast was not fantastic. And one of the things, I think this fixes a big problem that I have with the original animated movie, even though it doesn't like fix it fantastically. Mm-hmm. It doesn't super fix it or whatever. But yeah. one of the problems for me with the original story is that there's not enough time. There isn't enough stuff
sure.
that actually happens, and there isn't enough time that
to
passes
them to each other. Right.
By the time
right.
you get to the end, and it's like, oh yeah, I
this
love
is a
him
fairy
or whatever,
thing,
and you're
right.
like, yeah,
right. no, you don't.
Whatever.
Right. You're just getting used to it.
And even yeah. though this doesn't really fix it exactly, it gives them a lot more connection to each other. It
See,
has them like go through stuff together. Beast
yeah.
is like there when she's finding out about her mom and all this stuff. And
right.
that's kind of like a tense thing, but it also gives them more. We see them more when they're just loving books at each other. And
that's,
it doesn't absolutely
sure.
make everything better, but it makes it a little bit
it
more believable.
Right.
A little bit more believable.
One of the yeah. things, well, real quick before I forget, not because it matters much, but the animated movie is an hour and 24 minutes long.
Yeah.
This movie was 2 hours and 10 minutes long. That's 45 minutes longer.
Oh, I thought it was.
I thought the original
was longer.
This film is so long in ways it doesn't need to be. Some of the stuff that I hear what you're saying about it. The castle looks great and all the stuff that goes on in it. But when you have the technology, this is funny. This is like all what we were talking about earlier with the Matrix stuff. You have this budget, you have this cast, you have this technology. Let's really animate things in this live action display of what we did so well in this animated beloved version. And I think someone just needed to say, look, we get it. The teacups move. And they smile and they dance and all this stuff. But there's so much pageantry because the film, if I had to describe it in one way that I think is both a compliment and a criticism, is grand. It wants to be this grand affair. And I think it succeeds at times. And I think it fails at times because of that ambition. One of the things that I wish they had done much less of is animate the castle and show me the dresser throwing things everywhere, which in
right.
I can't imagine, thankfully, for people that pay attention to this stuff and care about it, we didn't see it in 3D. There were times in
right.
3D it would have looked stunning, but it would have been darker because 3D movies are darker. I don't mean like in tone, but I mean like in actual aesthetic. And I had enough difficulty seeing what the hell was going on sometimes just with regular lighting.
Right.
And while I'm nitpicking about that, I thought the audio mix was horrible. There were times when they were singing. Maybe this was just our theater, though. I couldn't tell what was being said at all.
Right.
Like, and I'm not deaf.
Right.
Like, I can pay attention
there,
to this
there
stuff.
Was a lot.
I don't know if you know.
There was a lot of
that.
Singing.
Like the pub scene with Gaston's song.
Mostly,
I couldn't tell what the
I
hell
mostly
was
wrote
on.
It off to the
okay.
theater that we saw it in.
So, okay,
because
right.
I'm not sure that
I don't
that's
know if
not
that's
a
other,
fair.
Right.
conclusion to jump to. So it could be that. Sure. But there were a lot of times when there's singing going on with tons of background at the same time.
Yeah, right.
So yeah,
that's hard.
As good as you make that, it's still maybe not the best choice.
I get the gist of it. But for me, the stuff that I wish they would have taken away was more character, because you've got this incredible opportunity with an actor in Stevens who's talented and Emma Watson, who's fantastic. You know, she's capable of doing an awful lot. And what they did was instead they wanted to show teacups and candelabras moving and singing and dancing and wasting times with set pieces and things that didn't interest me at all to the story about two people who have to fall in love. And when those two people don't fall in love satisfactorily, I get the animated version. It's mostly for kids to teach them, like, when you get older, things happen in between these things, but you'll get to it. But this is what happens. When she looks at him and says, I love you, I didn't believe it. I didn't buy it. And I thought it was just like this weird pandering waste of my time. Not in a big criticism kind of way, but like, you had all this time to do all these things and you had these great moments to create things like the library. The library is the most effective of them. But as good as an actress as she is, and as sad as I'm supposed to be that the beast is dying under this curse, I didn't care and I didn't believe it. And I feel like that's a huge failure for a film that goes over 2 hours and has talent and ability to show a love story. This isn't about, you know, the ride at Disney.
I think you just don't like fairy tales.
Oh, God, I love fairy tales. The ride at Disney is to show all this stuff off. The movie is to get me to take my kids to Disney. But the movie has to sell a love story, and it fails. It does not make me think by the time she has crocodile tears that she cares about him at all. Let alone, well, excuse me, she cares about him. They're building a relationship, but she doesn't love him.
Yeah, I think it's just you.
The closest that I had to her actually feeling something was the coyote attack.
The only problem that I had with the love story, and like I said before, that's just a problem with the animated.
Are you telling me that when she says, I love you, you're there with her, like you don't love the beast, but you believed you've done enough?
I think, here's what I think.
I think you're nuts. There's no way in hell you do.
Well, then you have to just say, like I said, that's a problem with the animated movie, and it has to be more of a failing in that than it is in this.
Probably.
So then you just have to say, yeah, Beauty and the Beast, that animated movie, is complete crap because there is no way to believe that they are in love
that quickly.
And you can say that if you want, but I don't think you're going to sell that to a lot of people.
Right.
But what I would have liked better, and what I actually almost thought was going to happen, which would have blown me away.
Yeah.
But what I thought was going to happen was that she was not going to ever say it. I thought that she was just going to be really sad.
Right.
And, you know, start crying or whatever. Right. And then basically the exact same thing happens. The witch walks up, he comes back to life.
Anyway,
it's just, you know, it's not saying the words doesn't do anything anyway, right? And it's not like she had to show up and say those words and then, the spell's broken. Like, the spell is not get somebody to say it to you,
that's
right?
That's easy. I can trick you.
I thought what was going to happen is that she was just going to be really, like, sad and crushed that he died.
Right.
And then, you know, so she kind of, is she in love with him? You know, whatever.
Maybe.
But she realizes that she's really got serious feelings for him.
Right.
And is it like,
beast.
Am I in love? You know, it doesn't matter. She didn't have to say it or whatever. Right. It's kind of like, it's close enough, right? She is, whether she's, you know, in love and we can like quantify that and, you know, do a blood test on her and find out that she's in love with them.
Right.
Whatever it is, she's like really broken up and you know, it's kind of messing with her. Right.
Right.
And it's not only, I thought what was really cool about that end scene, even though we had to have the words or whatever, but what I thought was really cool about that end scene was that Emma Watson, to me, whether you're sold on that she loves him or not, to me, she was really selling the fact that she was surprised by whatever it was she was feeling. She was, she was like, why do I care so much about him? And she was like selling that part of it
that works
in a really good way. And I thought until like because she waits a long time to say it.
Right.
So when it kept going and going and she didn't say it, I was like, maybe they're just going to do it or whatever. And I think that would have actually been better if she had just not said it.
Right.
And it would have just been like, you know, I said you have to get somebody to love you, but I mean, come on. Right. And then it would have just been, you know, maybe she's not in love with him. But like I said, that has always been a problem with the original for me, is that it's just, it's so fast.
Yeah.
But at some point, you do have to be telling the story that the animated movie is telling, or you have to be telling this story. Like I said, you have to be telling this story that you could believe that movie came from. Right.
Right.
And I think they do that in a really, really solid way, especially since all of the extra new stuff I thought was awesome. I thought all of like Kevin Kline having like a much bigger
he doesn't even take theory, up a bunch of time.
It's having just good. Having a much more realistic character going on. See, because there's one of the problems in making this live action too is that you've got her father and you've got LeFou.
Right.
Neither one of them can be live actioned.
Right.
They are the most cartoony characters. They are the most cartoony characters there ever were.
Yep.
There's nothing to them at all.
Right.
You can't make it live action without drastically changing them.
Yeah.
And I thought they did all that stuff great. I thought I thought, you know, LeFou in the cartoon, he could be based on Josh Gad's character and, you know, and everything
and Kevin
else.
Kline, you know, But see, that's what's kind of irritating to me about it in some way, which is Kevin Kline is not in the film for a very long time, though he shows up in the beginning, middle, and end.
Right.
The short amount of time that he's there and the exposition of his character and the feeling that we see Belle have for him and that the audience actually has for Kevin Kline as well, I don't think they put that much attention in a love story between Beauty and the Beast, between Belle and the Prince. Like, if they had put just an iota of the same amount of time, what is it, 11 minutes total on screen? 10? I mean, that works.
I don't know.
And it works well, and I believed it. And I believed the motivations all across and the caring and the affection. But that wasn't there. And the scenes directly before, I mean, not just the fight scene with Gaston and the Beast, but the scenes directly leading up to her admitting her love for him, they're not particularly warm or affectionate. Like, this is one of these things where in a film where we see together and someone's like, I got to do everything I can for him. He's my best friend. No, he's not. Saying it doesn't mean you guys are blood brothers. The fact that now that they have reached this point in the film where she has to say this and mean it, and I don't buy it, and I think it tanks the film in a way for me. It's so much like, you know, he gets like an hour into the film and he realizes, well, we've done all these amazing things. We've really screwed up the Be Our Guest. That thing's a nightmare scene all through and through. But we've
that's
done all
like,
this stuff.
That's like somehow Willy Wonka took over
it
for
is,
like
it's
a
really
minute.
Strange. Yeah. That's a really weird. It almost makes me feel like that was done before they did anything else or after they did everything else, but mostly before. But it feels like by the time they get an hour in and they realize how far along in the screenplay they actually are for all the video footage that they've shot, he's like, oh, God, we got to hurry this up a bit. And he doesn't. There's no expediency to anything there. It actually slows down quite a bit. It's fine.
You just don't like love.
No. It's fine. But I thought that because of the extended running time, the weird emotional malleability that wasn't there, it was just a little below average.
I think there's a lot of stuff in the movie that happens.
Maybe I'll feel better when I see it again.
That is, I think there's a lot of stuff that happens in the movie that is maybe in a similar sort of way. It's kind of tied to the original, and at some point, I think you just have to let it be. And I think there are several points where the movie does things that are very weird, right? And you see it in a live action movie and you go, but that's just really weird. And I think you have to just give the movie a break for a lot of things.
Sure.
And the other one that's really big, and I think there are several of them, but the other one that's really big is when they're about to send Kevin Kline off, and the Beast, and they see the Beast in the mirror, and it's like, boom, right? Go kill the Beast,
right?
And you're watching that in the live action movie, and you know, it's like I was watching that from two different perspectives at the same time, right? Like yeah. the one perspective, I'm like, what is that? They're like instantly going to go kill the beast. They right. didn't believe him 5 seconds ago. Now we have to go kill it. And right. if we don't, it's going to murder us and steal our children. And yeah. it's like, man, that just all happened too fast.
Too quick.
Like way too fast.
Right.
But that's exactly how it happens yeah. in the sure. animated movie.
Sure.
And nobody questions that, right?
Right.
Nobody goes, that happens too fast, because yeah. it's just the way that that story goes. So I think some of the stuff that happens like that, where it's a little bonkersly quick,
yeah.
I think you can only hold that against the movie. I think you can only hold it against this movie to be a live action version of the animated
right, the
source
movie material, right.
so much. You can't really say, no. look, you fail because you made a live action movie of this animated right. movie. That feels unfair.
I got to disagree with that 100%. If you have 45 extra minutes, if you have 45 extra minutes and you can't extrapolate a better reason to go kill the beast than just, look, it is different. We have to get it before it gets our kids. And you say, well, they did it and it was accepted in the animated movie. You got 20 years of distance. You got 45 minutes of footage and you have millions of dollars to facilitate a better story. And if you accept that, oh, it's just the source material, then I think you're apologizing for the lazy storytelling. They had everything.
No,
they,
I don't Mark, think, I don't think, I don't think
needed.
That's true.
They have everything.
I don't,
they,
I don't think you can do that. I think
they didn't have enough time.
I think then what you could just do is then you could just say, look, this is a bad movie because yeah. that's a bad story. That original movie, yeah. that's a bad story. So now I don't even have to see this movie. I could just
no,
say, this is a
say,
bad movie.
Right. I know what you mean.
Because it's based on this story and it's fairly accurately representing that story.
Yeah.
And then ipso facto, it's a right, bad movie.
But look, they did all this
then,
great stuff.
Then what with, do you need to see it for?
Well, they did all this stuff with because it's going to do more. It's going to flesh out more. For almost an hour longer, it should be able to fill in the gaps. If it just paid attention to the way her father was treated in the animated film and then just filmed it, we wouldn't know anything about her mom or all the other things about him because he's kind of, like you said before, just a joke. But we've got an hour of extra footage, so let's do 7 minutes to make him more of a believable character. They did it. And it works.
Yeah, but what if they didn't?
Then you probably wouldn't notice it. Agreed. You probably wouldn't notice it and you'd be like, it's just like the animated film. And you'd chalk it up to that being like, well, they did it that way, so they just did it this way too. But I still think that's a mistake.
So
I still think there's an error there.
No, I think you're just being unfair to the project, I think.
No, because I don't think the project was to make the animated movie. I think the project was to enhance what the animated film did. And that, in some ways, for me, is the problem. I don't think this movie is set to awe you. I think what it's designed to do is bring you through nostalgia to what you loved and draw more in it. That's why there's two or three new songs. Well, the reason there's a couple new songs is because they want to get an Oscar for best original song. But there's a couple new songs. There's a couple new things.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either. But there's a couple new things. Like they took the source material and said, what's great about it? Let's keep it. What isn't there? Let's flesh it out more. Let's bring more of the joy you have for what you love, which are the musical numbers. And they had all the time and budget to do that. But when it's the little things that they could have adapted to and made more sense of, they skip it. And then people are like, well, they didn't do it in the animated film. I think that's a cop-out. Because they do it so well in other things.
But yeah, but then you're just saying they did something good at one part and then they didn't change all these other parts, so now it's bad. But if they'd not changed anything,
not necessarily,
then it would have been okay.
It's just disappointing because they did pay attention to other parts.
But they did do other. There is more to them falling in love, or at least falling in like, then
right.
than there was in the original. And you know, I don't know. I think at some point,
I'm at three now.
I think at some point, if you say this is not a good love story, and therefore I don't believe that they're in love, and so it's a bad movie. I think at some point, then you're just saying I don't like the original, and then therefore this is a bad movie.
I see that side. I guess what I'm saying is I do like the original from what I remember. I think I only saw it once in like 1991 or two. I liked it. And if you're going to remake it and you're going to make it almost an hour longer with a budget 10 times as big, I expect a little more from it. I expect you to actually make me believe that Belle falls in love with the Beast. Less teacup spinning, more interpersonal relationships. Don't dazzle me with candelabras and things that are moving like dressers throwing clothes at you. I get it. You can do that in a nanosecond. Give me a little bit more time with character development, because at its foundation, it's a love story.
Yeah, there's not that much teacup spinning.
This is too much
anyway,
for me.
All right. Anyway. Well, yeah, this is just not for you.
I didn't think this was for me.
No, this was not for you.
So anyway.
All right. We have clearly gone on long enough at this point with these two movies. So
God, what headaches.
If you're recommending movies to people, you've got nothing.
I actually don't think. No, you know what's really strange? I would actually tell someone to go see Beauty and the Beast. Because I think, especially if they love the original, I'm not telling anyone, they're already there. But I think it's an interesting looking film, partially because of the animated film. But I also don't think it's a horrible time. I think if you like musicals, you probably really love it.
Yeah. I don't even know that the musicalness of it actually won out, which I thought was kind of strange.
Isn't that weird? Yeah.
It didn't. I don't think it really made anything positive or negative for me watching it. I think some people it's probably going to
big factor, yeah.
Because I think the original is kind of known for these,
right?
The songs are going to get stuck in your head, right? And Be Our Guest is going to get stuck in your head and all that. So people know the songs.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
And Drink Like Gaston and all that stuff. See, that's another thing for me. That's one of the.
I still like that.
Scene. That's one of the problems the movie has.
That scene
kind of that scene in a way. But like I said at the beginning, nobody wants just a shot by shot recreation. But nobody knows what they do want either. Right. So you do have to take a whole lot of time doing stuff that you go. In a perfect world, I might not do this, but I have to because it has to have this song and it has to have this scene. We can't just not have this scene.
Right.
I have a couple more scenes I want to show of them, them falling in love.
Sure.
But I have to have this scene, right? Because everyone will kill me. Mm-hmm. Even if you can't make it exactly the same, but there's lots of stuff you have to do because that scene's kind of stupid. It's stupid in the original. It's stupid in the...
He has to have a song.
It's okay that it's stupid in the original because it's an animated movie and you go, well, whatever.
Whatever.
But in this, it does, I think, kind of showcase the silliness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, the song kind of... a couple minutes later, you forget the song ever happened, sort of. It's not like a memorable thing.
I didn't hear it well anyway.
And so is Be Our Guest is like the same kind of thing for me.
That's the mistake.
It's like... A few minutes later, you're like, whatever. As you go through the movie, it could have not had songs,
right?
And it wouldn't make that much difference. So I think a lot of fans who are, really into it for the musicalness of it,
right?
I don't know. That may be a big negative to a lot of people is that, the songs don't really get a chance to shine.
Yeah.
It's doing too many other things, but, a lot of the extra stuff that it has, I think is really awesome, especially for Belle.
Yeah.
Even to the extent that, we get the part towards the beginning where she's like tying the sheets together.
Yeah.
Which is not a thing in the original, but it's like a big thing. It's like she's and as far as believing things, when she shoves her dad out of the cell, I believed it.
So did I.
Like I believed she would do that.
Yep.
And there's no reason that I should. It's like so early.
Right.
It's so fast. And I think that's not even.
And that's not from the
That's
film.
Not even the movie or the script so much as that's, I think, just that's Emma Watson. Yeah, I just have to give that to her. But yeah, the way that happens, that's
like
not
in the animated film, the doesn't animated. She just throw herself on the ground and cry?
She
and
just says that she'll train.
I think there's parts of the film where Emma Watson was strangely underutilized, but I don't know the direction because I don't think that she gave a particularly bad performance. I actually liked her Belle, but I think that there were certainly times where it just felt like she was being sort of set back a little bit. And I don't know why that was, except maybe, in a green screen, you're like, don't worry, we're going to have all these things. Like, more, not in the exact same argument, but like it was annoying watching her in the Be My Guest. Man, that really sucked. That scene, that whole right. song, she's holding things that they CGI'd in, like spoons and things, and it's so clear that someone's telling her they're in the wrong place.
Right.
You know, I can show you. There, I was about to show you here. I forget we're not a video podcast, but, you know, she's holding this here, and it's really here, and it just looks so right. awkward.
There's a lot of it where she's, like, looking at things and smiling, and it's just very obvious that she's in a there. Room by yeah. herself. Yeah. And there's yeah. nothing around her. Yeah. yeah. But it doesn't focus on her that much either.
Yeah.
It doesn't really look at her right. frequently. It's looking at all the yeah, it's all stuff happening and everything. Yeah, that scene is like a big problem for me. I did not like that scene at all.
I know we're getting ready to be done. I'll say this quick. It was fun to hear the audience, and that was a packed audience. It was fun to hear them. Apparently, they didn't recognize Ian McKellen, Emma Thompson,
right.
Ewan McGregor. Like when they start appearing as all the
right when you get to the, when you get to the very end,
and everyone's like,
right.
"Oh my God, was he in it all the time?" And I'm like, "Yeah," not because I looked at the internet movie list, but I recognized them,
right?
And I just thought that was a fun
the one got me.
Stanley Tucci.
I mentioned that right. to you when it yeah, when like, it ended
it the whole way?
Because when you do see him yeah. at the beginning, he's like the giant he's mustache really yeah. and the hair yeah. like going crazy yeah. all over and everything, and I did not know that
recognize
was him
yeah.
at all. And then yeah. all of a sudden at the end
you were like,
it's like,
where'd he come from?
It's like he had a thing in his contract where it was like, you have to make me a lot more recognizable in at least right. one part or
right.
something.
Right.
But then you it was
very clear,
obvious
like it was him. Yeah.
Anyway,
that was a fun moment.
All right. Well, yeah. So don't go see Kong. You've already seen Beauty Skip and the Beast Kong, anyway, right. so it doesn't matter probably. But
we're gonna,
Beauty and the Beast did insane money.
That was amazing.
Yeah. That's next week, hopefully we're going to get to Life.
Yep.
And then Ghost in the Shell
yeah.
is this
I'm
weekend. So
curious and nervous about both of them. I feel like they both have the ability to really stink.
I want Ghost in the Shell to be so good.
You're a big Ghost in the Shell
it
fan?
Should.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan. I saw
you just like the.
I saw the original animated. A few times, and it's you know it's old enough that it's
yeah.
kind of been with me and stuff.
Right, enough.
And it's a good story.
Yeah,
it's an interesting, quirky, like good story.
Yeah,
and I don't know, as much as there's all this stuff, I kind of like Scarlett Johansson's potential to be really good in it.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe she won't. I mean, I've loved her and stuff.
She's hit or miss sometimes.
I've thought that she's been kind of goofy and stuff.
Yeah.
But most of the stuff that I have thought that she's goofy in, it was because she was in something goofy.
Right.
And
not her.
Not like, oh man, she's ruined
over
this.
Her head. Right.
Like
yeah.
this would have been yeah, awesome, right. except.
Yeah. This looks right up her alley though.
Yeah. This looks really good. So anyway, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week, and please share, subscribe, rate us on iTunes, and otherwise trick your friends into listening to us. Thanks.
Bye.
Hey, listeners. On behalf of myself and Shane Leonard, we want to thank you for tuning in once again. The Are You Screening podcast is brought to you by areyouscreening.com and a lot of wonderful people who help us out. Surf over to areyouscreening.podbean.com or areyouscreening.com to find out how you can become one of them. All music used in our podcast is courtesy Andrew Lord. Once again, please, please, please subscribe, rate us on iTunes, review us on iTunes, and otherwise trick your friends into listening to us. Good night.